Grace and peace to you from, turn my mic on. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's gospel is a challenge. Many scholars consider it to be the hardest parable to understand in the Bible. If we read it too quickly, we might think that Jesus actually commands it. After all, Jesus tells us that this manager robbed his boss of several hundred gallons of olive oil and several hundred bushels of wheat. Furthermore, we get the impression that these were just two good examples of the steps that the steward took to get in good with his boss and business partners. Surely he managed more than two accounts for his boss. Yet at the end of the story, the boss praises him for being a good steward. This seems especially out of character when we look at today's Old Testament lesson from Amos that condemns people for cheating in the market. Let's take a look at the differences between the 21st century culture and the first century Middle Eastern culture. One of the greatest differences in our attitude toward the individual, our culture elevates individuality both in its fiction and its history. We praise the self-reliant pioneer who settled the West. We tell stories about the Lone Ranger, the hero who rode off silently off into the sunset. Even in our team sports, we tend to elevate the individual. Many of us remember Joe Namath, but how many of us remember the center who reliably snapped the ball to him? How many of us remember the rest of the line who protected Joe so that he could get off those passes? How many of us remember the rest of the team that made it possible for the Jets to win the Super Bowl? No matter how hard we try to promote teamwork, our culture values individual achievement even more. The attitude of the first century Middle East was just about the opposite. Family and community were more important than the individual. People thought about how to bring honor to their extended family and community. People took comfort in knowing their place in the family and community structure. Although the culture understood that God created every individual in his image, those individuals were to promote family and community. Thus, we expect the citizens of first century Israel to seek out honor even before they seek wealth and power. When Jesus introduced the wealthy man at the beginning of the parable, his listeners would understand that this man would use his wealth to bring honor to his family. The manager also should be seeking to bring honor to his family and to his master. Problem is that the manager is at best incompetent and at worst a shameless thief. The rich man has to fire him. He called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Turn in your account of your management, for you can no longer be my manager." The manager's poor work habits not only cost him his job, but also brought shame to his family. Now he had to find another source of income. Unfortunately, he was too weak for manual labor and begging and would bring even more shame to his family. Then the manager came up with a very daring and risky plan. If he could get his boss's business associates before the termination become public knowledge, he could make points with them so they could owe him. Then he could live on their goodwill until he could get back on his feet. He quickly called them in and reduced their bills. He had to do it quickly so that they would believe that he was still acting as an agent for his old boss. Now here is where the cultural difference comes in. If this would happen today in our culture, we would call in all the business associates and tell them that this manager had been terminated and was no longer allowed to act for us. Therefore, the reductions were null and void. Everyone would go home grumbling, and the manager would probably go to jail. In first century Israel, a man who could not control his employees would lose face and bring shame on his family. It would not be good for the rich man's family if it became public knowledge that the manager had swindled him. Secondly, it is very shameful to take back a gift. Therefore, this rich man could not go back on his business associates and take back the reduction without bringing shame to his family. The only thing the rich man can do is ratify the debt reduction and reap the honor for being generous and forward-thinking landowner. In a way, the dishonest manager forced his boss to show mercy to his business associates. In the end, both the manager and his boss came out looking good in the community. The rich man gave credit where credit was due. This manager had taken a big risk on a daring plan and pulled it off. He had commended him for his shrewdness. Does that mean that he wanted the manager back on the payroll? I don't think so. The point that Jesus wanted his disciples to catch was that the sons of the world are more savvy in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. The sons of this world are unbelievers, and the sons of light are those who believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus is telling us that the unbelievers work much harder in spreading sin than the believers do in telling the story of salvation. We see this in the newspaper every day. The world pursues a sinful goal with an incredible devotion. Consider the incarnate planning that takes to smuggle illegal drugs into this country. Think of the incredible skill it takes to hack into a computer network of a bank, an airline, or even the Pentagon. What about the billions of dollars that hardworking citizens pay to the entertainment industry in order to satisfy a lust for corrupt things in this world? Sometimes people will even camp out in the street overnight just to get a ticket to an event that will corrupt their soul. People will work day and night to earn their way to hell. On the other hand, many of us who say we believe and hold God and His Word to be beyond price, who say to our mouths that faith in Jesus Christ is the one and only way to eternal life, remain unproductive in divine matters. We are apathetic and negligent, even though we know that God has served us with the life and death of His Son. The rich man in today's story had to be tricked into being merciful. God is already merciful in every nature. The manager in today's story had to come up with a scheme to save himself financially. God's plan of salvation was already in place when the world began. Both the rich man and the manager were struggling to keep their honor in today's story. Jesus Christ surrendered his honor in today's story. Jesus Christ surrendered his honor for the shame of the cross. The rich man commended the manager for his shrewdness. God the Father commended Jesus for his perfect life and sacrificial death. The manager saved himself financially. Jesus Christ saved us eternally. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, 9-11, God has highly honored Jesus and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ has risen from the shame of his death and ascended to heaven, where he now rules with all things infinite honor. He has promised all those who believe in him that they shall be where he is. This is good news, and the honor beyond all honors. I wonder what would happen if we confess this faith with the same enthusiasm that the world denounces it. Amen.